have to pick a side. You have to pick a team. You're either for God or you're against him. You're either with him or you're not. Am I being clear today? You have to pick a team. The apostles picked their team. We are on God's side, and we're having the courage through the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God called us to do, even though you're telling us not to. God's good, isn't he? Come on, you can do better than that. God's good, isn't he? All right, like you can say your team's good, and you're like, my team's the best. I say, God's good, you're like, yeah, he's good. No, he's great. God's good. And we're going to celebrate him today, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Who here has ever been on the losing team? Raise your hand. Some of you are like so ashamed you don't want to raise your hand. We've all been on a losing team, and no one likes to be on the losing team. Isn't that true? Would you agree with that? Everyone hates to lose. Yes? My family, every couple months, we do a big family day with my whole extended family, with all my wife's siblings and all that, and we have fun. And we had one just a couple weeks ago, and we got together and we played Family Feud. You ever watch Family Feud? We played Family Feud. It should be no surprise to anyone that my team won. We won. We were the winners, and they were the losers. Everyone say losers. They were the losers, and I remind them of that every time I see them. You are a loser. I am the winner. It creates great family unity when you do that. And we won. They lost. My team did. Everybody else on my team doesn't. It's not really worth mentioning. The point was I was on the team, and we won. Now, that might be kind of silly, but I want to ask you this question this morning. What team are you really on? What team are you on? And if you're on a team, how does anybody know you're on the team? What are the qualifications? What is the fruit coming out of your life that you're on that team? This question takes a massive, serious note in Acts chapter 5. We're continuing our series today, The After Party. We've been talking all about what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the book of Acts, because the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus wasn't the end, it was just the beginning of the party. The party is still going. And as we look at the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 5 today, we're going to learn some amazing things about really kind of this attitude of being on the right side, and we're going to learn that today. What side are you on? Being on the right side. Everyone say right side. You know, the church is thriving. Miracles are happening. People are coming to know Jesus left and right. It doesn't matter how good things are going in the church. The enemy's always going to try and worm his way in through disunity, through bad attitudes, and through attacks on the outside. Not everyone is happy about the good things that God does. They can always find a problem and always find a reason. Isn't that true? And that's exactly what's happening here in Acts chapter 5, is that not everybody is pumped about what's going on in the church, specifically the religious leaders. They did not like what was happening with the apostles in the early church. One group, the religious leaders, wanted the old-time religion, and the apostles and the people who gave their life to Jesus wanted this new life in Jesus Christ. And so they had to make a choice. What side are you on? And so we're going to ask this question this morning. We're going to learn about this because I don't know about you. I want to be on the right side. Who wants to be on the right side? You know, because the wrong side has eternal consequences. Eternal. We got to pick our team wisely. So how do you know? How to know you're on the right side? That's what we're going to learn today as we read through Acts chapter 5. How to know you're on the right side. Now, there's a lot of ways you can know. I'm just going to pull out a few of them today that help us understand this passage a little bit better. How to know you're on the right side. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 is where we're at. The high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Everyone say jealousy. Jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Why were they jealous? They were jealous of all of this great following the apostles had because they were preaching Jesus Christ and this new life in him, this old-time religion wasn't going to cut it anymore. They needed faith in Jesus Christ. And they were filled with jealousy. Filled with jealousy. You ever been jealous? You ever been jealous of anyone? So many things were happening in the church that were great, you would think everybody would be pumped about it, but no. No. Some people were just mad because it wasn't them. So how do you know you're on the right side? Well, you need to ditch Team Jealous and join Team Rejoice. You need to ditch Team Jealous and join Team Rejoice. You ever been jealous of someone? You ever said anything? You're like, I'm so jealous. They're so beautiful, I hate them. They're so successful, I don't like them. They're so this, right? We compare ourselves and we get jealous, right? And we get envious. And this is what was happening with the religious leaders. They were so filled with jealousy, it was all consuming to them. All consuming. That's all they could think about. How come it's not me? How come it's not me? And they were filled with all jealousy. They felt threatened by the success of the early church, and they didn't like it, so they really wanted to shut them down. They wanted to shut down everything that the apostles stood for. They didn't want them to preach about Jesus. They didn't care that people were getting healed, that demons were being delivered from people, that lives were being changed. They didn't care about the people. They were just mad it wasn't them. They were jealous, and so they wanted to shut it down, so they started doing evil against the church. That can happen in our life if we're not careful. Jealousy can become all-consuming that we start doing evil against the church. The book of James says this in the Bible. It says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, which starts in our heart, right? There will be disorder and vile practices, right? And one translation says, in every evil practice, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist. And this is exactly what's going on with the apostles. Jealousy and selfish ambition is all-consuming for them. They wanted to shut them down. Now, maybe that's something that you struggle with. Maybe jealousy is something that is a little bit of a hang-up for you. You're jealous because of this person or that person. What's going on in their family? What's going on in their business or the way they look or their finances or the kind of car they drive or whatever it is. And we can have jealousy come into our life. The enemy can use that as a tool. Do you know that even among pastors, there can be jealousy among churches? We have to be careful because the enemy can worm his way right in and say, hey, you know what? You that should be you. And it become all-consuming. I want to help us to learn from this morning, so we're going to talk about three ways to know you struggle with jealousy, just in case you're not sure. Three ways to know you struggle with jealousy, because sometimes we might struggle with it, but we think, nah, I don't really have a problem with that. But maybe it really is a problem. Three ways. Here's number one. You feel bitter when others succeed. When others succeed, you feel bitter. Instead of celebrating what's going on in their life and the wins that they're experiencing, you actually get frustrated at their success. And you're upset that it's not you. Like, I should be that person that is succeeding and not them. The other way to know you struggle with jealousy is you constantly compare yourself with others. You constantly compare yourself with others. Their wins feel like your losses. You ever feel that way? You're like mad because, you know, they got the promotion. They got the house, they got the car, and they got the dog. And you're jealous. And you just compare. You're like, why am I not this way? People do this oftentimes with their physique. Why am I not taller? Why aren't I shorter? Why aren't I buffer? Why don't I have this? Why? Whatever. And you can actually have all kinds of issues come in your life where these things become all-consuming to your life. Why don't I have that position at church? Why can't I do that? And we become a person who compares ourselves with other people. The other way to know that you struggle with jealousy is your why not me becomes louder than thank you, Lord. Why not me? How come that doesn't happen to me? And your gratitude is drowned out by envy when other people are blessed. The truth is, jealousy has no place among God's people. Everyone say no place. It has no place among God's people. Instead, we should rejoice with people, right? The antidote to jealousy is rejoicing. It's rejoicing. And so I'm going to ditch team jealous, and I'm going to join team rejoice. This is what the Pharisees and the religious leaders should have done. Instead of being jealous, they should have said, man, God's changing a lot of lives. We should be on the same team. But unfortunately, the enemy worms his way in, and not everybody's on the same team. Which team are you on? How do people know? Well, jealousy is not part of God's team. It's not God's way. It's not God's plan. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, rejoice. Everyone say rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Do you know what that means? That means when something awesome happens in somebody's life, you're like, yes. When life changes for them for the better, you're like, awesome. I'm happy for you. I'm pumped that happened. I rejoice with you. Maybe, and then you can say, maybe God will do something like that for me. That would be awesome. And you rejoice. You're on their team. Do you know why I start every single meeting that I'm ever in with wins? To help us fight against jealousy. So we rejoice with other people. We say, God is doing something good in our life. And it's a testimony to God's power. When something awesome happens in somebody's life, you should say, that's awesome. I'm proud of you. You deserve it. You're amazing. Because you're God's creation. You're God's child. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. I'm with you. I rejoice with you. We think oftentimes that jealousy and comparison happens only with teenagers. It is a problem with teenagers and with young adults. Especially with social media, a lot of comparison happens. Especially with young women. Why don't I look that way? Because God didn't make you that way. God made you exactly how He wanted you to be. And so we rejoice with people and we say, okay, God, I'm just believing you have the best plan and it's better than my plan, so I'm going to rejoice with those who rejoice. If you make that a goal in your life, to rejoice with people who rejoice, you will always have the best attitude. And you ditch that team jealousy and you start working with team rejoice. You say, I'm happy for you. You can't be jealous and rejoice at the same time. One of them will win. So choose team rejoice. I'm telling you right now, this is such a big issue. You are always going to find the person who's mad about everything. It doesn't take long. Do you know how I know this? Because they will find you. They will find you. And they'll try to get you into their group. You should be mad too. You should be upset too. You should be discontent too. You should be jealous too. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. You need to join my team. It's called Team I'm Mad About Everything. That has no place among God's people. God's people rejoice. God's people celebrate. God's people, and you're going to see it in a minute, even when we're persecuted, we celebrate and we rejoice. You have to ditch team jealous and join team rejoice. Well, the Pharisees were not on team rejoice at all. They were on team jealous. They were filled with jealousy. So they had the apostles arrested and put them in jail. And they were like, how are we going to stop these guys? Now, something miraculous happened. We don't have time to read it today. But an angel of the Lord came into the jail cell and released the apostles, right? So it appears that all of the apostles were arrested. So this is a big jailbreak. And the angel came and released them and said, listen, I want you to do something. I want you to get out of here. And I don't want you to run. I want you to go into the temple. And I want you to keep on preaching. And I don't know about you, I've never broken out of jail. But if I did, I probably wouldn't be hanging around. Right? But he says to him, I want you to go preach. And the apostles did just that. Look what the angel said in verse 20. He says, go stand in the temple courts where everyone can see you. He said, and tell the people all about this new life. you just keep on preaching and you tell them about Jesus. And we're gonna preach Jesus even in the face of team jealous. We're gonna keep on doing it because that is what God called us to do. So they did that, and they went and they preached, and the jealous religious leaders did what they do best. They arrested them again, and they brought them back to prison. And here's what happened in verse 27. It says, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin. Now, if you don't know what the Sanhedrin is, just think of it this way. It's like their present-day Jewish Supreme Court. There was like 70 people on the Sanhedrin. This is a big deal, and they're the ones that set, you know, their social laws and enforce them, and their religious laws and all these things. So the Sanhedrin, ran by the high priest, they were the big chiefs in town. So they had to appear before the Sanhedrin. So this is getting more serious than just the county jail. To be questioned by the high priest, and we gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Whose name? Jesus. The name of Jesus, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem. I love this. You filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They filled the city with the teaching of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That should be what we do. He said, Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Come on now. We have to obey God rather than you. I'm not pointing anyone in particular, but you get my drift, right? To obey God in front of their whole religious leadership, in front of their Supreme Court, we're not going to do what you tell us. We're going to do what God tells us. That takes courage. How do you know you're on the right side? We have to ditch Team Coward and join Team Courage. Ditch Team Coward and join Team Courage. Who here has ever played Peekaboo? You played it? Some of you still play it. Well, my granddaughter, she has, now we've learned, you know, this is the classic game you play with little kids, and she knows it, and we play it, and now she does it just at random times, but sometimes she can't walk and do peekaboo at the same time, so she can only do it with one hand. And she'll be like, boo, and it's supposed to frighten me, right? She's like, boo, and I'm like, boo, oh, right, and I shrink back. You know, oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can be on Team Coward and not know it. And we shrink back from what God's calling us to do. And the moment, the coward is the moment that opposition hits, you shrink back instead of moving forward. You shrink back instead of moving forward. That's called cowardice. When I should be moving forward, instead I shrink back and I run away. Now you might not know this, but God doesn't have very nice things to say about the cowardly. In talking about heaven and who will go to heaven and who won't, he gives this whole great list about all the people who will go into the kingdom of God, but he says this about the cowardly in Revelation 21. He says, but the cowardly, say cowardly. Come on, cowardly. Don't be cowardly about saying cowardly. Say cowardly. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. That's where the cowardly go. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very fun to me. Now, the good news, we have forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and we can turn from that and turn away from that cowardly position and turn to Team Courage, which is on God's side. The cowardly in this passage are the people who knew the truth. They knew the truth, but they were afraid to make a stand. They knew about Jesus, but they were afraid to make the stand. What some men call caution, God would probably call cowardice. Well, I just want to be cautious. I just want to be careful. What you're saying oftentimes is, what I want to be is comfortable. I don't want to rock the boat. If you read the Bible, it'll rock your boat. The message today is probably going to rock a lot of people's boat. I didn't write it. God did. God wrote his word. These are his verses, and they're meant to rock the boat. And he's drawn a line in the sand. Are you on team coward, or are you on team courage? Because God is on the side of team courage. He's on the side of, listen, we don't shrink back from the attacks of the enemy. We don't shrink back from what God's calling us to do. We know what the truth is, and we're going to make a stand. We're going to make a stand. And so we have to have that call in our life that we're going to make that stand. And I want to give you four signs, just in case you don't know, four signs you might not be on team courage. See if you pass the test. Now, the good news is if you fail in any one of these, today's the perfect day to make a change. Today's the perfect day to say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to be on team courage. So let's evaluate ourselves through this. Four signs you might not be on team courage. You let fear silence your faith. You let fear silence your faith. You feel God compelling you to act. You should be stepping up. You should be speaking up. You should be leading. But instead, you hold back because you're afraid of what people might think. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of looking awkward. You're afraid of rocking the boat. And you let fear silence your faith. That's team coward. That's not team courage. The other way to know is that you choose comfort over calling. When faced with a challenge or obedience, you default to safety. It's uncomfortable. I don't really want to do that. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I just want to be comfortable. I often think about this in regards to people around the world that live in countries where you're persecuted for being a Christian. That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. Our comfort level is, you know, interrupted when we're like, yeah, I don't know which service I'm going to go to. Or if I should serve on serve team this week. I don't know, I'm not feeling it. Maybe I should cancel. That's where our comfort level kind of makes the awkward stage. But when we choose comfort over our calling, we're actually joining Team Coward. See, Team Coward loves the comfort zone, but Team Courage follows God into the unknown. God's not about leaving you in a comfort zone. He's not about making you comfortable. He's about, are you going to make a stand for me when it's uncomfortable? Which is what the apostles are going to face here in just a minute. The other way to know is that you hide behind excuses. Maybe you make excuses. I'm not ready. It's not the right time for me. Somebody else would do it. Yeah, I'm gifted in that area, but I don't know. I'm not really feeling it right now. And so you make excuses. There's always a reason why you're not involved, you're not pushing forward, you're not making a stand, and you're always excuse, excuse, excuse. And there's always a reason behind. I know it's going to be a little tough for some people to hear. That's team coward, that's not team courage. Team courage says, listen, if God's calling me, I'm ready. If God wants me to do these things, I'm ready. How about this one? You care more about people's approval than God's. Do you ever struggle with that? I think we've all struggled with that at one level or another. I care more about what people say than what God says. And because of that, you know, we shrink back from what's right because we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to feel like we're the odd man out. We don't want to have criticism. I'll tell you what, if you want a life where you face constant criticism, go into ministry. Be like the apostles, because I guarantee you, you're going to get a grip of people who say that you're wrong, even if you're preaching the scriptures. See, Team Coward is driven by applause. I want to get more people on my team. I want everybody to be on my side, and you're driven by applause, but Team Courage is driven by obedience. Are you with me today? One's driven by applause, they care what the crowd thinks, and the other one's driven by, I care what God thinks. That's what the apostle said. It's better for us to serve God than you. We're going to obey God rather than human beings. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Not of fear. Listen, we're going to have opposition. We're going to have things that are going to cause us to be a little afraid. I'm not saying that we don't have those things. But I don't live in a world of fear. I live in a world that has power from the Holy Spirit to do things that man thought was impossible, but God called me to do. And so I live not in the team coward, but I live in team courage. And I say, yes, if God's calling me, it can happen. If God wants me to do it, He can make it happen. Am I going to face obstacles? Yes. And you know what? Those obstacles are going to make you better. They're going to grow you. They're going to stretch you. The apostles had every opportunity to shrink back from what God was telling them to do. They have every opportunity to say, okay, you're right, Sanhedrin. I'm going to go back to, raising donkeys. I'm going to go back to being a fisherman. I'm going to go back to being a tax collector. They could have all said that. I'm just going to go back to what was comfortable and what was easy and what just kind of came naturally. But they had every opportunity. But they said, no, we're going to actually follow God and do what God told us to do. We're on God's side, which is the challenge that Jesus gave us when he said this in Matthew chapter 12. He said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. You have to pick a side. You have to pick a team. You're either for God or you're against him. You're either with him or you're not. Am I being clear today? You have to pick a team. The apostles picked their team. We are on God's side, and we're having the courage through the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God called us to do, even though you're telling us not to. Are you on team courage? Is that what God's called us to do? He's called us to be on team courage. Some people say, well, I'm not on anyone's side. I'm just neutral. There's no neutral ground here. I'm just going to be a peaceful person and, let you guys have your opinions. No. You're either with him or you're not. Which team are you on? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, it says, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. This is why I don't jog. Some of you know that. You ever see a person running down the street by themselves? It's most likely a wicked person. No one's chasing them. Makes no sense. Right? You're like, I may have been yelling out my window, come to Jesus, you don't have to run so much. Come to Jesus, you don't have to run all that much. It says, but the godly are as bold as lions. Everyone say bold. Bold as lions. Listen, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on around the world, but things are shaking up. And it's time that this church and God's church around the world started acting like they were bold as lions. And not in a way that like church is just something that I do because it's convenient for me. It's something I got to do because I'm a Christian and I got to punch my church card. No, I'm bold as lion because I'm part of what God is doing around the world. And I, as a member of the body of Christ, I'm going to do my part to be on team courage and say, you know what? I'm not going to run like no one's chasing me. I'm going to be bold as a lion like the apostles were, and I'm going to stand for my faith. I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to win people to Jesus Christ. I'm going to see them baptized in his name. I'm going to see their life changed, and I'm going to be part of it. Why? Because I picked a team. What team are you on? You say, I'm with Jesus. Ditch Team Coward, join Team Courage. This caused a lot of problems for the religious leaders. They were so mad about it that they wanted to kill the apostles. They wanted to kill them. And through some debate, they decided, okay, we won't kill them. We're just going to beat them. So here's what happened. Verse 40. It says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. To be flogged means that you were either whipped with a whip or a club 39 times. That's a lot. It must have taken them a long time because there was a lot of apostles. They were flogged, and then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Watch this. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. They've just been flogged. Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Whose name? Jesus. They left rejoicing because they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Wow. And it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is amazing. What a great example for us. How do you know that you're on the right side? Well, you have to ditch Team I Quit and join Team Let's Do This. You know, there's a lot of quitters in this world. Among them are golfers. I run Monday nights, my small group, we run Monday Mulligans. It's not at Mulligans. It's a play on words. It's actually golfing. We go play 9 holes of real golf. And every golfer always wants to quit until the next time he plays. Every time. I'm the worst. I don't want to play this anymore. The game's terrible. Why do I even do this? And then they'll have like one shot. Oh, yeah. That's the one that keeps them coming back. Imagine if every time you golfed, you got flogged. That's like golf. Except we're beating ourselves. I can't imagine these apostles, they had every reason to quit. Every reason. All of these people who they had grown up looking up to, the Sanhedrin, now disliked them, now flogged them. They had every single reason to quit, but they didn't. Instead, they said, you know what, we're going to do this. And it says, every day, at the temple courts, and from house to house, they never stopped preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. And they considered the persecution a joy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That's next level. It was their joy to be persecuted. You weren't called to Team I Quit. That's not in God's team list. His team list consists of people say, you know what, we're going to do this, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of obstacles, even in the face of people who don't want us to continue on, we're going to do this. Look at the verse 41. It says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Everyone say rejoicing. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. Do you love Jesus so much that you're willing to suffer disgrace for his name? And when you do, rejoice about it. That's a next level team member. That is next level commitment. And that's what God's calling us to. We should be people who rejoice. That's why James says this. He said, consider it pure joy. Everyone say joy. Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Count it pure joy when you face these things. That is the opposite time of when you should be quitting. It's the time you should be persevering. So it also says in Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. One translation says, if you don't quit. You don't quit. What team are you on? What team are you on? And if you're on God's team, how does anybody know? There's no such thing in the Bible as a silent team member. A person who says, I'm for God, but I'm quiet about it. I'm for God, but I live in fear. I'm for God, but I shrink back. I'm for God, but I don't have any courage. That is so opposite of what the apostles lived. And because of that, God did amazing things through the church, and more people got saved because they decided they were going to pick a team. They decided they were with Jesus. They decided no matter what man did to them, they were always going to be on God's side. What team are you on? Today I want you to make a choice. Maybe you've been stuck in jealousy and jealousy's been consuming your heart. Today you can get rid of that. You've just been living your life comparing yourself to other people. You forgot to live your life because you're so worried about what's going on in everybody else's life. That's jealousy. Maybe you have been running around living in fear. You've been holding back. It's not the right time. I don't know. I'm just worried about getting rejected. You got an excuse for everything, and that fear is all-consuming. It's keeping you from living out God's purpose in your life. It's time to be done with fear. That's not what God wants. He wants courage. Maybe you've been tempted to quit. Quit on God, quit on your marriage, quit on whatever it is, quit on life. It's time to start saying, you know what, God? You've got a good plan for me. And I want to be part of it. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep on. And when trouble comes, I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to focus on the win. And I'm going to say, okay, God's not done with me yet. 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 Why? Because I'm on God's side. And you know what? God's on your side. That's why he sent Jesus. Because he loved you so much. He wanted to be on your side. He wanted a way in which you could actually be part of his team. And that comes through grace and forgiveness.